And now we lace up our Stan Smiths, grab our T2000 racket, and look back on our 2002 interview with tennis great Billie Jean King.
Her accomplishments on and off the court explain why Life magazine named her one of the 100 most important Americans of the 20th century.
Today, Billie Jean King's many titles include co-founder and majority owner of the World Team Tennis League. And Tom, our audio is less than ideal here, but we need to state up front that we don't think it has anything to do with WorldCom's problems. And we never pass up a chance to talk to a tennis legend calling in from Wimbledon, England. Billie Jean King, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tom and Dave. It's good to talk to you.
We wanted to start by asking you about something that you're currently the majority owner of, the World Team Tennis Pro League, which includes players like Andre Agassi, Lindsay Davenport. Is it a good business to be in, or do you think of it as more of a passion?
I think of it as both. I like putting money back into what made my life, and tennis mm-hmm. has been great to me. And obviously, I love team sports. I grew up in a family of team sports. My younger brother, Randy Moffitt, was a professional baseball player with most of his career with the San Francisco Giants as mm-hmm. a relief pitcher, a righty. And so growing up around sports, I always grew up around team sports, and I always wanted to help make tennis a team sport, and I always like co-ed events best. So we have two men and two women on each team, and my dream is for someday that the World Team Tennis format is in the Olympics, mm-hmm. is our team sport mm-hmm. for tennis.
Billie Jean, you were the first woman to win more than $100,000 in a single season in any sport. Today's players competing for prize money that's usually a little bit north of $100,000 just for one tournament. So I guess my question is, does Billie Jean King ever wish she were born just a few years later?
Yes, I would love to be a player today. Mm-hmm. I have the right personality for it. I love it. I love to promote our sport. I love grassroots tennis. I love coaching. I love all parts of the sport. Plus, as you know, I love the business side. Mm-hmm. Today, if I were around, I would be in hog heaven, but I get a lot of gratification on what we all did to change the landscape and climate of our sport.
When you look at tennis today, what are the biggest differences between the business of women's tennis and the business of men's tennis?
Men still get a lot more opportunity. It's still a big part of the old boy network. They have many more companies they can go to and get money. They can have a huge turnover of sponsorship and still survive, I think, a lot better than the women. But the women's ratings are better, at least at home.
Okay, let's talk about an event that's forever etched in many of our memories, your victory over Bobby Riggs in the 1973 Battle of the Sexes at the Houston Astrodome. When you describe that event to someone born after 1973, what do you say to them?
I try to set the scene for them. I try to tell them that Watergate was heating up, that it was the height of the women's movement. In 1973, women could not get a credit card without her husband or father or a male signing off on it. So I think that puts it pretty much in perspective, because I think most young people today cannot imagine a boy or girl without a credit card.
Mm-hmm. We were talking to our producer, Matt Greer, earlier. He was 9 at the time, and he actually went to your match with his entire family. And Mac was saying that he was admitting to rooting for Bobby Riggs, but says that he was under duress from the men in his family. He wanted us to pass along his sincere apology some 29 years later.
But it's interesting, because that's very typical, because Mac is what I call the first generation of men of the women's movement. And his generation, Mac's generation, they're in the late 30s or 40s now,
yep.
are the first generation of men of the women's movement, and they're the first generation of men that insist that their daughters and sons have equal opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So that match was very significant in that it symbolized exactly what was transpiring, and it was so visual and impactful, because I have people every single day since that match come up to me, and the men, if they're in their 30s and 40s, tell me how that changed their lives. And now that they have daughters, or if they have both daughters and sons, tell me they have a very different feel about how they want their daughters to be treated because of seeing that match.
Yep. What a great memory.
When we talk gender equality in and out of sports, how much do you think things have changed since 1973?
Well, I can tell you, in 73, women got 59 cents on the dollar. We're getting 74 cents on the dollar. Hmm. In the area of finance and business, we are at 68 cents on the dollar, and that's where the power, opportunity, and choice comes for, is when you have money. Money equals opportunity. There's no question. women of color today are making 59 cents, just like the Caucasian women were making in 1973. So they're 30 years behind right now, the women of color. So we have a long way to go, and it's really in the area of business. The old boy network is still very strong and very true. You just look at the stock exchange and how many men and women are in there. You look at all these areas, and it's still very much run by men.
If we look back on your career, what would you highlight as your smartest and your dumbest investment?
Dumbest investments are the dot-coms, but I knew it was a dumb investment, and I didn't care. I like entrepreneurial people. Mm-hmm. I like people who take risk. I know that's where I take my fun money, and I put it in, and if I get lucky, 1 out of 100, great. If I don't, so be it. I just, you know, if I can hit a couple singles and maybe one home run in a lifetime, great. But my smartest one as far as, and the most fun has been my World Team Tennis. You know, my putting money back into our business has been the right thing to do.
That's great.
I want to put money back into tennis because it's been so good to me.
You're someone who loves games and you're someone who loves sports. And so we close with our own game. We call it Buy, Sell, or Hold. We ask you to take, we're going to present you with a theme, a person, something going on in society. And we ask you, if it were a stock, would you be buying, selling, or holding now in one sentence as to why? Are you ready to play?
I'm playing.
Okay, Buy, Sell, or Hold, John McEnroe's new autobiography, You Can't Be Serious.
Oh, you got to buy it.
And do you think Tatum O'Neill is?
Oh, Tatum just helped him sell books because she got on 2020 and started trashing him a little, I think, and inappropriately. Mm-hmm. And the irony of the whole thing is probably going to sell more books for John McEnroe.
I think that's probably true. Now, we can hear the Wimbledon cheers behind you, so that's appropriate for me to ask you the next one. Buy, sell, or hold, the likelihood of a Billie Jean King comeback.
Come on now.
Hold, baby, hold.
So it's at least a hold.
And finally, many people may not know that Elton John wrote this song for you. Buy, sell, or hold the song Philadelphia Freedom.
Oh, baby. Buy, buy, buy.
Billie Jean King, thanks for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Tom and Dave.